Well, it's a caucus where we try to make sure that we're highlighting issues that affect the federal government and contracting with the federal government and for the federal government. They range from procurement issues and personnel issues to the whole issue of insourcing and outsourcing and what the right balance is and what ought to constitute inherently governmental functions and what doesn't. So it's a set of really important issues, not maybe the most sexy issues, but they really have a lot to do with how services are provided to the federal government and ultimately to the public.
Well, and of course, I may be biased, but I think they're incredibly important in terms of helping the government do its job better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of outside expertise on which we increasingly depend, especially in the technology area, and those issues have to be highlighted and the challenges we face discussed.
So yesterday you held a forum looking at particularly the role of contractors in national security issues, and we always talk about this public-private partnership, which sometimes ends up being more window dressing than I think actual reality. What did you learn yesterday? You had a great panel.
One of the subjects we highlighted was the whole issue of cybersecurity. Increasingly, that is a threat both to the private sector and the public sector. In the federal government, in just 2 years, the number of successful cybersecurity attacks on federal databases, federal systems, information systems, went from 2,000 to 5,500. A huge increase.
Yeah.
Just 2 years.
And Microsoft was there. I know a number of folks talking about the roles that government and industry can do together.
That's right. Obviously, the federal government needs the expertise of the private sector to try to defend itself against successful cybersecurity attacks. And we need their help in looking at new ways of deterring that threat. You know, that threat can compromise national security, homeland security, national defense. It can also, frankly, compromise secure databases and healthcare systems. And so it's a broad threat. It is, you know, technology is a wonderful thing and allows us to do all kinds of tasks in an efficient and economical way we could not conceive of years ago. But there are vulnerabilities that come along with technology, and one of them is the fact that someone can hack into a system and get intelligence and data that they're not entitled to have that can compromise our security, but also they could perhaps even manipulate things operationally to the detriment of our citizenry.
So is there something that comes out of a session like this that actually can help you formulate either legislation, or how does this help you do your job better, which is to come up with laws that enable agencies to do their jobs better?
As especially experts in the private sector wrestle with these issues themselves, new operating procedures can come out of those kinds of discussions that make us more successful in deterring threats. New training and awareness techniques so that the workforce is better equipped to recognize an attempt, a cybersecurity threat attempt, when it occurs, and best procedures for how to respond to it. So that interaction between the public and private sector is just vital to the federal government as we move forward in these and other related issues. One of the issues, for example, I brought up was the whole issue of cloud computing, where we store huge, massive amounts of data and databases somewhere. And we can do it inside the federal government, and we can also avail ourselves of a growing number of private sector companies that provide cloud computing. Now, some in the federal government worry that by outsourcing that to the private sector, we are risking security. But on the other hand, you could argue that the private sector, in some ways, because it lives or dies through competitive bidding and through protecting clients, may frankly be even more secure than we are in the public sector in some cases, because they have to be.
Right.
And so they're at the very cutting edge of securing those huge databases in this new, you know, cloud computing world. So we wrestle with those issues as well.
If they aren't, they're out of business.
That's right.
It's truly life or death for them. Jerry Connolly is a congressman from Northern Virginia. What are the next steps that come out of this? I mean, it seems to me that regardless of what happens come November, we're back. It's almost like a deja vu 1992 again. We're talking about better, faster, cheaper. And if you're looking at cybersecurity, how do you do that cheaper? Well, you're going to have to involve the private sector in some pretty dramatic ways.
I think you put your finger on an issue that is going to be with us for a while. One of the things that concerns me, and we discussed yesterday at the Smart Contracting Caucus meeting, was Secretary Gates's announced initiative to eliminate 10% of outside contracts for the Pentagon each year for the next 3 years. That is a massive, massive shift by the Pentagon, and it's done under the ostensible rubric of cost reduction. Now, when you decide to do something that massively just across the board, it means that you've conceded, in a sense, the scalpel. You have foregone serious analysis, rigorous analysis that says, okay, this isn't working, that's duplicative, we can do that better, somebody else can do that cheaper, for just a bland but nonetheless powerful across-the-board cut. And and the risk there is enormous. You could eliminate and lose capabilities that will not be easily reconstructed within the federal government in any reasonable time frame, and no guarantee you can do it cheaper. And you're going to lose a lot of domain expertise that we've worked so hard to build up in the private sector in the Reagan years, the Clinton years, and the Bush years. And I just think that approach is very arbitrary and not a very thoughtful way to manage a large, complex relationship. And I think it has the potential for doing real harm, and I think it also has the potential for not realizing the promise of additional savings.
It's interesting, sometimes the long-term ramifications back in the Clinton years, a lot of procurement executives let go as this effort to reduce the overall federal workforce. And I think most people, the conventional wisdom today, is that ended up costing the government more because you weren't making the kind of very strategic procurement decisions because you just didn't have the people with the expertise.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think all of us would agree that there has to be a reasonable balance. And some activities need to be brought back in the government. I think evaluation of outside contracts should always be done or managed inside the government. We shouldn't have contractors evaluating contractors, and I think most contractors would agree with that. But when you come to domain expertise that really resides in the private sector and does not reside within the federal government, that's a different matter. And I simply do not have the faith or confidence that we're going to easily reconstruct that capability inside the federal government in any kind of reasonable time frame or within any sense of reasonable cost.
Yeah.
As a framework.
It's Francis Rose, from our in-depth program, had a program earlier this week where he looked at this inherently governmental question. And he had somebody on from one of the unions and said, well, okay, is there anything that should be contracted out? And her response was, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially no. The feds ought to do these things because she believes they can do it better, faster, cheaper. Now, you're in this place where you have both a lot of contractors in your district, you also have a lot of feds. As you look at that inherently governmental situation, it seems like a difficult. It's difficult to find that line, that balance between those two issues.
Well, I think that's true, and I think you're going to have to look at this on a case by case basis. I don't think you can look at it theologically. I don't think you can just decide one is better than the other. Period. I think we went too far the other way, maybe, in the pendulum during the Bush years, where theologically, outsourcing was always better than insourcing. I think that prejudice is no more defensible than the opposite proposition that it's always better to do it inside and we should never, contract outside. I don't think either one of those two points of view, frankly, is very helpful. I think we have to do the hard work of making a case-by-case judgment. I'll give you an example. When I was chairman of Fairfax County, I was also the chairman of our internal board audit committee. And every couple of years, I'd ask the auditor to the board to look at the function of maintaining our vehicle fleet. We had 3,600 vehicles, so it was a big fleet. And I just had this sneaky suspicion that that was a good candidate for outsourcing, because it was hard for me to believe we could do the job better and cheaper inside the government, which is what we were doing. And every time I asked the auditor, to my surprise, the auditor found that, as a matter of fact, we had higher quality, better standards, lower costs, and much more efficiency, because we had a really efficient, highly motivated workforce inside the government that really cared about the mission. And believe it or not, they were cheaper at everything, even, you know, the kind of thing that you'd think Jiffy Lube would be able to do better. And so what I found, I learned a lesson. Don't just assume intuitively that this has to be better than, you know, that the alternative is always better than what we're doing now. And be open to new data that tells you, that challenges your assumptions. And I think, you know, that really taught me a very valuable lesson on this subject. And I think all of us have to take a deep breath and say, okay, let's analyze how easy or how difficult this, you know, insourcing or outsourcing choice may be, and let's try to make sure what serves the public the best in terms of expertise, cost, efficiency, and economy. And, you know, I just don't think there's any substitute for rigorous analysis.
Yeah. Part of the Secretary Gates was, what he was talking about was a lot more competition. He wants to see more competition on all fronts. And it seems, at least a lot of procurement folks say, out of that competition, the government gets better value. Is that, do you like that part of what the Secretary had to say?
I do. I think competition is always a good thing, including the competition, you know, between whether we do it inside or whether we outsource it. And the problem with Secretary Gates's initiative, as announced, is that the 10% contraction per year of outsourced contracts for 3 years, I think, flies in the face of his statement, with which I certainly agree, that we actually need more competition. You've actually precluded competition with that initiative.